Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. How well do you know Jesus? Our perceptions of him, our characterizations of him should be formed and shaped by Scripture alone, because those are really the only things we can know for sure about him. But it can be easy also to make some assumptions about what he was like. But sometimes those assumptions can lead to misperceptions or mischaracterizations of Jesus that don't really match up with Scripture. For example, one that I've heard before is that Jesus always accepted everyone for who they were. Scripture doesn't match up with that. Instead, we hear Jesus in Scripture calling out people and calling them things like blind guides and sons of hell. We hear Jesus criticizing the way that people worshiped, criticizing the things that the other people were teaching. We hear Jesus tell people to stop living the lifestyle that they were living. Another misperception or mischaracterization that I've heard before is that Jesus was always gentle with people. But on at least one occasion, and maybe even two, Jesus physically chased people out of the temple with a whip and flipped over the tables of the people who were doing business there. Not the way I define gentle. Another perception or characterization of Jesus is that since he is God, and since God is always in control, then that means that everything happened exactly the way Jesus wanted it to happen. But that's not true either. Jesus, on one occasion, was overlooking the whole city of Jerusalem, and he started crying. And he said, "Jerusalem, I've longed to gather you just like a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you were not willing." It didn't go the way that Jesus would have wanted it to go. And today we get another example of that, of things not going exactly the way that Jesus would have wanted them to go. Jesus was rejected by the people in his own hometown. And that's the account we get to focus on this morning. And so as we think about Luke chapter 4, we'll see this truth uncovered, that rejection is not the exception, but the rule. Right? Rejection is not a rare occurrence. It's actually a very common one. And that has some really important implications for us today. And so it'll be a good thing for us to ponder that for a while today. So Luke chapter 4 tells us about how Jesus went back to Nazareth, his hometown, and he preached there in the synagogue. But let's actually jump to the very end. It says, all the people in the synagogue were furious. They got up, drove Jesus out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. How in the world did Jesus get himself into that kind of situation? Later in the day, as Jesus thought back about his time in Nazareth, what do you think his takeaways were? What would yours have been? Guess I'm not trying that again. I guess I went about things the wrong way there, because look at how it turned out. So what was Jesus' strategy when he got to Nazareth? How did he get himself in a situation where people intended to throw him off of a cliff? This was Jesus' hometown, his original hometown, Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, of course, but it's not because Mary was from Bethlehem. They got to Bethlehem because of Caesar Augustus's census. But Mary and Joseph, they are from the town of Nazareth, and so after Jesus was born, they eventually found their way back to Nazareth, and that's where Jesus grew up for decades. And after he grew up, he left home, as many people would do, around the age of 30, and that's when he began his ministry. And he began preaching in the synagogues in the area up in Galilee and doing some pretty incredible miracles, especially healing miracles. He also went down south, spent some time in the big city, in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem. But now in Luke 4, Jesus, with this growing reputation, comes back home. And aren't towns, especially small towns, don't you expect them to be proud when one of their own goes out and makes it big? You'd almost expect to walk into the city and see it on the sign, right? Now entering Nazareth, home of Jesus. And sure enough, there was a buzz in the synagogue that morning as Jesus went to the synagogue service. And very often, visitors were allowed to do the scripture readings or to teach on a scripture reading, and that was the case on this day as well, where Jesus stood up to read, and he read mostly from Isaiah chapter 61, which we actually heard earlier today. And then he sat down, not because he was done, but because that's how the teachers typically taught in the synagogue. It was from a seated position, and everybody was staring at him. They were so eager to hear what he had to say, and he began his sermon very simply, very honestly. He said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, I am the one that Isaiah was talking about. I am the one that the whole Old Testament was looking forward to and pointing to and waiting for. I'm the Messiah, the Son of God. And the reaction of the people was interesting, maybe even a little confusing. They said really nice things about him. They thought he was a really good speaker. But they still ended up on a hill outside of town, intending to throw him off a cliff. How did they get there? What did Jesus do wrong? Jesus was a good preacher. More than one place in Scripture tells us that. That he spoke with authority, that when he spoke, people listened. They couldn't help but listen to him. And yet Jesus was rejected. When we have our perceptions and our characterizations of Jesus, that's usually not the first thing we think about him, that he was rejected by people, that at times he looked like a complete failure. Jesus, the Son of God, was rejected. It says in the book of John that his own did not receive him. But it wasn't because he made a mistake. He was rejected not because he didn't go about things the right way. Jesus very simply and very honestly spoke the truth. And he spoke it well. But the people rejected him. Should we expect anything different? Jesus was rejected. The apostles were rejected. That's what we heard in Acts chapter 4. That's what they were dealing with, all the opposition. They were arrested and imprisoned for a time for simply and honestly speaking the truth. Should we think anything different? Should we think that if we just have the right kind of pastor, if we package the message in just the right kind of way, if we have the right methods of reaching people, and if maybe we try to just minimize a little bit the things that might offend people, then everybody will listen, and then people will follow. Rejection is not the exception. It's the rule. It's not a rare occurrence, but a common one. And it's always been that way, always. Jesus pointed that out by pointing to the Old Testament. The prophet Elijah went outside of Israel to a widow to give her aid during a famine. Why did he go outside of Israel? Jesus said it's not because there were no widows inside of Israel, but it's because the people inside of Israel had rejected him for his honest presentation of God's word. Then Jesus pointed to Elisha and how he healed a leper from Syria. Why from Syria? It's not because there were no lepers in Israel, but because those inside of Israel had rejected him when he had presented the simple truth of God's word. So when God sent his prophets to people outside of Israel, it was a statement of condemnation on those inside, on those who should have known better, because they had the honest word of God preached to them on a regular basis. Should we expect anything different today? If people aren't following, if people are leaving, do we have to try something new? Do we need to change just because the word of God isn't going viral? Jesus was rejected. And so Christians who present God's word very simply and honestly will be too. And you know that. You've experienced that. You've seen that in the world today, right? And if you haven't, just try it. Try to present the word of God very simply and very honestly and just see what happens. Right? Give a simple, honest presentation of the truth of God's word, that there is only one true God and there's only one way to him, and that's Jesus alone, and every other way leads to hell. And just see what kind of reaction you get. Or try being clear and honest about God's word, that there actually is a standard of right and wrong that is outside of us, imposed on us. And we don't just get to decide what is right and what is wrong, and see what kind of reaction you get. Or try to present the simple, honest truth of God's word, that everybody is sinful from birth, from conception. Rejection is not the exception, but the rule. But here's what our God is like. God can do amazing things with rejection. Rejection does not equal defeat for God. It does not equal failure for God. No, rejection of God's word and rejection of God's people, when it comes, is simply the next thing that God is going to use for the benefit of his kingdom and the benefit of his people. That's how he used the rejection of Jesus. How did that turn out? The rejection of Jesus led to his death. To his arrest, his condemnation, and his death. Jesus did not savor that experience. That was not a fun thing for him. In fact, he even prayed to his Father the night before his death and asked for it to pass. He said, can we do this a different way? But God said no. He said no, not because rejection is a noble goal to pursue, but because he had in mind to use this rejection for our good and for Jesus' good, for the salvation of you, and for the exaltation of Jesus. He used that rejection. And so if we face rejection for a simple and honest presentation of the truth of God's word, we are following Jesus' path. We are following the path of the apostles, and we can trust that God can and will use that rejection for the good of his kingdom. So don't be discouraged. Stick with it. Stand firm in that simple and honest truth of God's word. Rejection is not the exception, but the rule. That's just the sad truth about human nature. But we should then be careful that we don't let our own guard down and assume that rejection only happens from other people who don't know Jesus that well. Elijah and Elisha were rejected by people who knew the word. Jesus was rejected by his own hometown, people who knew him. They said, isn't this Joseph's son? They knew his father, Joseph. They had known him personally, and so in all likelihood, they knew Jesus as he grew up. And they knew him well. At least they thought they did. They were so familiar with Jesus, so familiar with him as Joseph's son, that when Jesus claimed to be something more than Joseph's son, they stopped paying attention. And they just couldn't comprehend how that could be true. So as it turns out, they really didn't know him that well after all. Sometimes those who know Jesus the best are the ones who don't know him very well at all. That temptation is lurking for you too. How well do you know Jesus? There are some of us in here who have known him our entire lives. There is no time in life that you can remember not knowing Jesus. And so we think, well, I know him very well. I knew a man once who didn't really hear or understand the gospel until later in life as an adult. And so he got to think about it for the first time as he was older, and it just blew his mind. how countercultural the concepts are of Scripture. And he was just so thrilled and enamored by it, but then he couldn't figure out the apathy of the others who had known it their whole lives. He came to discover that sometimes those who know Jesus best are the ones who don't really know him well at all. Right? Some of us know him very well. We can recite the Lord's Prayer or the words of the Apostles' Creed without even thinking about it, because it's just right there because we know it that well. Or we can hear the words and the works of Jesus, and then we reduce our mental effort a little bit because we're thinking, well, I know this already. I know how this ends. I don't have to think about this anymore. And so we miss sometimes as we get older, since we knew it from the time we were a little child, we miss, once we have the mental capacity, just the enormity of the concepts that are coming from our lips or that are entering our ears. And we miss the fact that these familiar stories still have something to say to me today. And it's different than what it said to me 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, because I've changed. And there's still beauty here in the simplicity of God's word. Sometimes the ones who know Jesus best are ones that don't know him very well at all, and that's a temptation for us as well. So let's keep the mental effort up, even as we hear the familiar stories. Because Jesus said that it's through listening to his word that he fulfills his promises and gives you all those wonderful gifts that he offers. He said, "This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing as you listen." As you listen, he is giving you gifts. Well, what are those gifts that he gives and offers? Now we can listen to what he has to say. This was his sermon. It was good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free, the year of the Lord's favor. He's preaching that to you, too. Part of the agreement that God had with Old Testament Israel was that they celebrate a special year every 50 years. It was called the Year of Jubilee. It's a big celebration, and one thing that would happen during the Year of Jubilee is all debts would be canceled. Right? People would get a blank slate again. And anybody who was working as a servant to pay off a debt would be released, and all prisoners would be released. It was a big celebration of freedom. Not the freedom to do whatever they wanted to do, but the freedom of not owing anything to anyone anymore. And so in Jesus' sermon, he announces that that's what he brings to you. The freedom of not owing God anything. And you've racked up quite a debt to God with apathy towards his word, with venom in your words and thoughts, with your lack of love towards others. But when you listen to Jesus, it's the year of Jubilee. And that's for you too. If you know Jesus well, you know you're a sinner. You're used to saying that and confessing that. You're used to knowing and saying that Jesus died for you. But sometimes if you know it too well, you do it without thinking. And meanwhile, your conscience is still working and telling you that you still have to do something. You still have to make something up to God to make yourself a little more worthy to be here or to bear his name. But it's the year of Jubilee. Jesus paid your debt with his death. It's the time of God's favor, and that's for you too, which means you don't owe God anything. You don't have to prove anything to God to make yourself look good in his eyes, because Jesus gave you his status. And then he preached that status to you, and you listened to it. And as you listened to that preaching of God's word, he fulfilled that promise to you, and he gave you that status. And that continues to be fulfilled, and that continues to be given to you as you hear his word and listen to it today. Believe that. Trust that. Rejection is not the exception, but the rule. And sometimes it comes from those who think that they know him best. And even though that hasn't changed and never will, Jesus doesn't give up on people. He walked through that crowd in Nazareth and continued. He He continued on his way. He continued preaching. He continued all the way to the cross. And he continues to preach to us too. And he refuses to withhold his promises. He refuses to withhold his offer of freedom, forgiveness, of making you honored in God's sight. So let's hold firm to that, whether we face rejection or not, because we know what it gives us. Hold firm to the simple, honest truth of God's word, and as we listen to it, he will do just what he has promised you. Amen. Please stand.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.